Welcome to Biz Rocket Radio with Stone Payton and John Baker. John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation. And now, get ready for Biz Rocket Radio. Here's Stone Payton and John Baker.
Good morning and welcome to Biz Rocket Radio. This is John Baker on a wet Wednesday here in Atlanta. A little bit of rain that we absolutely needed, but it has been a wonderful fall so far. Biz Rocket is a show that gives us an opportunity to chat with individuals and executives in corporate America, as well as business owners, and gain their perspective on experiences that they've had, both challenges and successes. And then this morning, we welcome in Gary Jones with Grizzard and Bill Judevine. He tripped me up on that name a little bit earlier, with Career Spa, and we're going to have a great discussion on coaching and employees and how to get the most out of who you have within your corporations. And we might even talk a little bit about when it's time for them to leave. So I want to first welcome in Bill. Bill, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
My pleasure. So Bill, maybe you could give us a little bit of background on you and then also on Career Spa.
Great. Super. Well, thank you, John. Again, it's Bill Judevine, and I'm vice president with Career Spa and Talent Connections. And my background has really been in leadership and in sales, business strategy, sales process, those kinds of things, and then around leadership as well. Most recently, prior to Career Spa and Talent Connections, was president of a couple of small business. One was a healthcare services firm, and then before that, a consumer products company. So I've always been around small to medium-sized businesses around leadership and around business strategy and sales strategy, as I mentioned. And with Career Spa, we're really focused on engaging with small and medium-sized businesses all around the talent challenges that they may come across, whether that's effectiveness coaching, executive coaching, team coaching, any of those instances that are going to help the company keep the momentum going and stay competitive in this challenging market.
And we're going to get to a bunch of questions on that topic, but I want to do a quick intro and get Gary in here. And again, welcome, Gary. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, John. Great to be here. My background, I started HR a number of years ago through the org behavior counseling entree. And so my foray into human resources was doing a large number of psychological assessments to make sure that a not-for-profit was putting healthy people out there to serve the public.
Oh, okay.
And from there, morphed into more of a generalist role in HR, and in later years, focused on the org behavior, organizational culture side of things. I've had the chance to work for a large national not-for-profit, and did some consulting around HR services, operations consulting. Spent about 9 years with Pike Family Nurseries, a great local brand here in Atlanta, in retail and wholesale work, and am currently serving as Chief Human Resources Officer with Grizzard Communications Group.
Okay, and a little bit on Grizzard, maybe.
Sure. Grizzard is a direct marketing agency that helps large regional and national not-for-profits with their analytics, their research and analytics, their branding, and then actually developing fundraising plans for them to help them accomplish their purposes.
Perfect. So basically, I'm almost consulting with the not-for-profits on how to raise more dough for their organization.
Exactly right.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah,
a little soft place in my heart for that stuff. That's great. Well, obviously, a lot of experience that we have here in the room today on helping employees get the most out of their position and what they can bring to their position. So, Bill, maybe you could help us with understanding, you know, when any executive or business owner is dealing with employees or with team members. It's one of the hardest part about business is really getting the most out of people, getting them all to work in conjunction with each other and get the job done and do it at the highest level that you can. I think we all have read the book Good to Great and, you know, talking about the people that need to be on the bus and in the right seats and all that good stuff and
right.
Taking them from one level to the next level and only have your A and your A-plus players and all that good stuff. How do you know going in a consulting role when you're working with an organization when they've got somebody there that can grow into that position or when you've got somebody that just needs to be replaced?
Yeah, great question. Well, there's a couple of things there. First, in terms of the business leader, a lot of it, I think, has to do with whether he or she recognizes their skill in terms of leadership, which is can I identify talent or do I have a chief human resources guy like Gary who can help me do those things. If my structure allows me to have people that can help me bring in the right talent, that's certainly one thing. If we don't have that kind of environment, so we spend a lot of time with small and medium-sized businesses. So for a lot of the small businesses, by default, it could be a CFO or a controller that gets the HR responsibility.
Right.
And then is that really the help that the business leader needs, the CEO, the director? Is that really the help they need? So that's one issue. The other issue is really what I could call the talent umbrella, which could be huge. But relative to the right people on the right bus, as you mentioned, I think a lot of it has to do with at the end of the day, do you have that reality discussion around, okay, is John the player that I need in that seat doing what I expect John to do? That's one thing. And then does John have the skills, the ability and the talents to do what I'm expecting him to do? If he doesn't, then as a business leader, what do I do about that? Do I coach John personally? Do I recognize whether John has the skill to be coached and accept the coaching? Or does it take an outside provider, if you will, or an outside coach to come in and work with me as a leader and then teach me how to work with my team? Or I recognize that that's where I'm lacking, and I need to bring in that coach for my team, those people that I have reporting to me.
Now, how do you, and maybe Gary, you could answer this question. How do you identify those people, those skill sets, that they're worth putting all this time and effort and attention into that person versus just saying, look, you know, there's a talent pool out there that's vast, or at least it seems that way. Why don't I just get rid of them and get somebody else in? I mean, besides the impact that has on the organization, why don't I just move on?
Yeah, great question. I think it starts with making sure you've defined the right job. And while that sounds very simple, there's a lot of organizations that do not do that very well. And so, you know, my starting point, John, is I want to know what five things, six things, what's the number? It's certainly not 20, as you see in a lot of job descriptions. What's the five things that if this person does them successfully, at the end of the day, they have contributed to the success of the organization? Those are the critical success factors. Have they been defined? Does the person know them? Do they have the skill set to do them? If they have all of that, then they're not performing. I want to look at some coaching opportunities because clearly the skill set's there. We've invested in it. There's a lot of sunk costs, if you will, in that person's development. And if we cut them too quickly and we do not give them an opportunity to develop, I think, number one, we've kind of violated an ethical contract with them around investing in their success. But secondly, there's a lot of opportunity cost on the table because it will cost anywhere from 3 to 6 times. That's a low average of a person's annual salary to hunt for, onboard them, and replace them, and then get them to an effective level of work. So it's a big financial decision organizations are making when they decide to release someone as opposed to coaching them. So I want to make sure we're giving them that opportunity to be clear about what they need to do, investing in the skills, and then looking at the fit with the organization's goals.
Is it the squeaky wheel that gets the grease here? Is it a scenario where the underperforming employees are the ones that get all the training, and do the A's and the A pluses, the ones that are naturally talented or they've worked it out where they've gotten to the point where they're really good or great already, and they just get looked over because they're already there? Are we missing something and not giving them the same kind of tools that are available to the people that are just having basic problems?
Well, I'd go back, if I can, to a dynamic that I think exists right now where the effective business leader today has had to change a little bit and maybe take on more responsibility, which means that they've been head down doing what they do. So if it's a technology person, whoever it is, technology, healthcare, engineer, whatever it is, they've had their head down driving the business, right? Because they got to get money to the bottom line.
Right.
Then what happens is all these talent things start popping up on the edge of their radar screen.
Right.
Because they've had their head down, they may not be paying attention to those things. So it could be the occasion where the C player, the squeaky wheel, and Gary could probably contribute more to this too, that squeaky wheel, because their attitude's not so great, they might not know it, but it's their skill that somebody recognized or didn't recognize, right, the lack thereof, that causes them to be that bad performer.
Right.
Which that bad attitude can permeate the organization and really be very detrimental to the organization. So for the business leader who's been head down, and for the C player to be the squeaky wheel, you've got two things there, polar magnets, if you will, that don't help the business at all. Relative to the A player and the B player, I think the business leader today, in some cases, it's that identification of talent. People hear it today all the time, am I going to be the right fit? Is John the right fit for that position? Is Gary the right fit for the 5-6 core things we need in that role? And fit is really important. And I think a lot of companies, either because they don't have the resources in a market like we're in, or they don't have the knowledge because nobody's coached them on proper hiring, they just think, I need a body. I got to get a body in here.
Right. Yeah.
And then, as Gary says, what he refers to is the cost of a bad hire. I mean, you can do the research on the cost of a bad hire, and the numbers are pretty scary. And unfortunately, there's a lot of companies that are making bad hires. Because some people think, well, gosh, there's so many people out of work. But the reality is the A and the B players, they may not be out of work. So what we may have is a talent pool that may not meet what I need in my business because I either incorrectly identified what I need or I didn't know what I need. I couldn't define it.
Right.
And I just went out and got a body.
Gary, what do you think? I mean, there's unemployment practically double digits. Certainly here in Atlanta, it's in that range. What are your thoughts on what Bill's talking about?
Well, I think he's right on target, because in certain skill sets, I can tell you that in digital marketing, in direct marketing, finding experienced, qualified people who are ready to go right now and make a difference, they're hard to find. And so I think it does depend on the skill set a lot in terms of what you're looking for. But I would echo what he said in that a number of managers, when they're ready to make a hire, it's something they're not trained to do a lot. It's something they're not comfortable doing a lot. It's something that feels risky to them. They don't want to hire someone who's going to make them look bad or their unit look bad or not reach their goals. And yet it's something they speed through. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to slow the process down with a lot of managers and help them get on board with the right behavioral questions to ask that will lead them to discover whether the person indeed has the depth of skill and the depth of fit with the organization that they're interviewing for.
Are you actively using personality testing type devices?
We're not using those as a part of the hiring. We use them as a part of the development of people.
Okay. And just out of curiosity, this is a question for both you guys. If you're in a hiring process or even a coaching process, so this is, if you're coaching over there, Bill or Gary, you're in an environment where you're trying to hire, and you don't have the perfect person. They're just not, either they're not interviewing or you can't find them or what have you, and you need to make a hire. What are some of the characteristics that you look for somebody that's going to be able to grow effectively into that position? They might not be that person that come in and make 100% impact right now, But in 6 months with the right person, you can get them there.
Yeah, I think I think if you look at some of the maybe some of those things that maybe aren't measurable. So you know there you're talking about attitude and the integrity, which you hear people talk about a lot, and you know the will or the heart or those kinds of things. I think those are very important in an organization. If you think about in this city, the companies that are always recognized as best places to work, right? So you think of a Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, or you think about a Cox or someplace like that, where you've got these very strong cultures, and a lot of that directly comes from the leadership. So I think as you look at your people, you have to really take a good hard look and say, okay, do they fit the job description? So as Gary discussed in the beginning, are we really identifying in a job description what we truly need? That's a big part of it, I believe. And Companies maybe don't do a very good job of that. The other part is that fit part. And the fit part is really, you know, can I work with John? Can I work with Kathy? You know, can they be an integral part of this team? And the effective business owner, the effective leader, has put, they've got a lot of skin in the game in terms of building their core team. And they should rely on that core team to play a role in hiring and identifying that person. And I think if you look at the top performing companies in Atlanta and those that are recognized for their talent and recognized as a good place to work, you're going to find that they've got a very involved hiring process, which means the core leadership team and a lot of people that are playing a role in making that decision versus a process maybe that's just a couple of managers driven by the HR team who may not necessarily know and be aligned with the manager of a particular business unit.
Right.
So it's a catch 22 in some cases. You know, we work with HR teams, we work with business leaders, and we find that the companies that are winning today have both of those working very effectively together.
So let me change to the other side of the coin. So now if Gary, what you're saying is that the talent pool maybe isn't that deep, especially in certain areas. How, as an organization, especially a small or mid-sized company, Bill, like you work with a lot, how do you make yourself more attractive to those people? Because if there's 10 people out there and really you want that one out of the 10, how do you then make yourself attractive to that one?
I can tell you what we've done at Grizzard and what we did at Pike. We started with looking at our organizational culture. Today's workforce wants certain things from their work environment. It's no longer the generation of my father or his father. People want some work-life balance. They want to feel like they're making a difference at the end of the day with what they do. Mm-hmm. They want to be rewarded. They want to be recognized. They want to be appreciated. In fact, I've read some articles that said they want to be loved. And that's kind of a funny concept for HR to be talking about, right, with in terms of a business environment. But one of the things that we've done is we start with our basic HR practices and make sure that they're aligned so things are clear. So when we're talking with candidates or trying to attract candidates into the pool, we want to make sure that the job itself is clear, the rewards are tied to that job, the incentives are clear, the culture is clearly defined, the behavioral expectations around what it means to be a member of the Grizzard team, we want to make sure those are clear. Then secondarily, we build the culture to support those things. And so what we did at Grizzard, we actually studied the top 100 places to work for in America, and we did that over about an 18-month period, and we decided to try to emulate as much of that as we could in a small environment. And so at Grizzard, we're actually doing about 68% of all of those attract candidate kinds of things and retain associate kind of things that those top 100 companies are doing. And keep in mind, we're a small company, so we don't have the employee relations budget of Google.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's been really successful. Our retention has stayed there, and we're attracting people who stay a long time.
Could you give us some examples of things that you've done, that you've implemented, that have been successful, or that maybe the audience, listening audience, might be able to consider as an adjustment to their business?
Sure. It goes from the really mundane to the kind of sexy and fun stuff. The mundane stuff would be people know what they're going to be evaluated on. They know what they're going to be rewarded on. There's clarity around that. So there's no surprises. There's no guesswork to it. If I do this, then I qualify for this.
Right.
In terms of recognition, we came up with a pad, You Make Us Grizzard. In a very short fashion, it outlines some of our key cultural values. And so anyone can give this recognition to any other associate in any of our offices. And it's all about really going beyond the call of duty, exceeding expectations, bringing energy, enthusiasm, et cetera, to the job and to your interactions with your fellow associates. And then at the other extreme, we do some really fun, we love you, we appreciate you kinds of things. Our associates, about once a month, can get a free manicure on the job, or a free massage on the job, or free shoe shines on the job.
Yep.
And those little things, and you might think, my gosh, how many thousands of dollars do you spend? It's really not about that. It's a relatively small amount of money that is a way of saying to your associates, we know you have a life, and we value you. And so while you're here, here's some things you might have had to do on Saturday or at home on the evening when you get home. And I think that builds a comfort level and appreciation, and it increases the engagement factor, I think, of associates. We have associates who wouldn't think about leaving us.
Yeah.
John, I think a lot of it has to do with leadership. I think if you show me a passionate leader, and that's a successful company. And I think in today's dynamics, those companies are out there, and they do exist. And I think if you see what they're doing to set themselves apart, to make themselves more attractive, it's some of what Gary talks about, but a lot of it truly is leadership. You know, am I an accessible leader? And it might not be the CEO. It might be my sales manager. It might be an EVP of sales. You know, it's a manager somewhere across the organization that has stepped up and said, hey, this is my responsibility, and I'm gonna play the leadership role in what I do. But I think if that happens, it happens because it comes from the leadership, the CEO leadership or the senior level leadership. So again, show me a passionate leader and you're going to see a successful company. And I think the challenge then, maybe this is your question, so the challenge is, you know, so what do you do if you're a $20 million company with 60 people and you need a digital media expert, or you need a chief, somebody that you think of as a chief marketing officer in your role in your company? That's not what you're going to call them. They're going to be the head of marketing, but you think you need a chief marketing officer. Well, the reality is, for a chief marketing officer, can you spend X? And X might be $200,000. I'm just picking a number.
Right.
But the reality is, what you probably need is somebody who knows what they're doing, but they're going to share some passion for what they do, and then that's going to align with the passion that you have for your business as the leader. So I think a lot of it has to do with leadership. And, you know, show me a struggling company, and I think it's leadership. It's a leader that maybe hasn't taken the time or finds themselves in a place where they can't dedicate the time, give it the time to pay attention to the things that they need to pay attention to.
So let's talk a little bit about bringing in help. You know, bringing in somebody like a coach, mm-hmm. For employees. And Gary, I think you've done some of this in the past, and I know with Bill and with maybe some others. When is it time? When should our listeners that are out there that are talking to employees and dealing with things, when is it time to bring in some help to direct employees in that area?
Well, I think it's always the time. I mean, I can recall back a part of my background where I had access. It was an industrial psychologist, but so they performed the assessment on me, so they knew me pretty well. I spent 40 minutes a month with an industrial psychologist the entire time I was with that company. Come into my office, shut the door, and I got 40 minutes uninterrupted, dedicated time with an industrial psychologist. It wasn't that my manager said, Bill needs this. It was the company recognized that at the management level where I was, that everybody got that access to a coach. So, you know, with Career Spa, the spa part of Career Spa is really sharpen, polish, and amaze. So it's all about what are we doing as business leaders to make sure that John gets everything he needs in his role to be that effective contributor, contribute to the bottom line, keep the momentum going, keep us competitive, all of those things. And in some cases, you know, there is the classic case where somebody's made a supervisor because they performed well in their role, but they're not a leader, right?
So they outpassed their promotion, right?
Correct, right. So they definitely need some management coaching, some leadership coaching. For some executives, they might be in a role as an executive, whether they're the business leader. So, you know, in this market where we have a lot of entrepreneurs that start technology businesses and healthcare IT businesses and all of these dynamics that we're reading about, you know, in the beginning, they develop the business and they pick who they're going to work with. It's their friends, right? So they pick the first four, five, six people they're going to work with.
Right.
They become 25, 30 people. They get $10 million. They get to $30 million in revenue. And good gracious, now there's these talent challenges that pop up on the edge of their radar screen that they've never had to deal with before. So, you know, they might need to bring in somebody who's been there, done that, and can coach them through, okay, if this, then this. Mm. When this happens, this is what I need to pay attention to. So I think you know, companies need to be looking at coaching all the time. Of course, in this market, I think one would argue that it's one of those costs starting in 2008 that companies said, you know what, it would be really nice to have, but we just can't afford to have it right now.
Yeah, so, I mean, to a certain degree, isn't that the definition of their manager? I mean, their top line, unless you're a CFO, you're a C-level sweet guy or girl, isn't that what your person above you is supposed to be doing, is managing and promoting and developing you? Isn't that their job?
It's part of the job, but again, have they come from that environment? Is that who they are? You know, if that's not who they are, so an assessment can tell you that. A manager who's worked, you know, so Gary's my manager, and I get promoted over the years, and Gary and I have worked together for 10 years. I might be able to rely on a guy like Gary to say, okay, you know, I'll go to Gary when I have these challenges, and Gary might be my mentor.
Right.
You know, so we use words like, you know, mentor, development, coaching. I put that all under the same umbrella. But I think if you haven't walked those footsteps before, I mean, if you open the door and it's a trail you've never seen before, you need help.
So that's maybe a really good time to be bringing to thinking about from a coaching standpoint. Someone's just been promoted and it's maybe a new path that they're following.
Absolutely. I mean, I talk to business leaders all the time that recognize that they need it.
Mm.
The question might then become, how do I do it? You know, it's not necessarily when do I do it. It's really more, help me figure out then how do I do that? And that's part of what Career Spa does.
And Gary, you're in HR, right? I mean, you kind of have a bird's eye view of a lot of this stuff. When in your mind is it right or is it needed to bring in somebody that's specialized in this area?
You know, I think ideally we would like all of our managers to be qualified to have those kinds of discussions with their people. As Bill pointed out, sometimes they're not able because they simply haven't walked that path, had that training, have that skill set. And other times they don't have the time, and they should have the time and they should make the time. But sometimes they can't. So I think from small business perspective, which is where I've lived my life, is that we would like ideally for every manager to have those skills, every manager to be doing this, and for us to actually be training them on how to have those discussions. That's what we've tried to do at Pike Family Nurseries and at Grizzard and the other small businesses that I've worked with. However, there does come a time when some extra measure of objectivity may be needed. And while I may have worked with this person 5 years and been a great part of their development through those years, maybe now's a time when some real specialized skills in coaching and objectivity are needed. And we certainly have used Career Spa at Grizzard with great results. So, you know, I think it's not either or. I think realistically you have to think about budget. You have to think about the skills that are needing to be developed in the associate, the skills that the coach on site has. And if those are not adequate, certainly then, you know, we reach outside for that. I would wish for an environment when we could have, at certain levels, coaching available to every C person or every vice president or director level, because the value is certainly there.
Do you have any, working with Career Spa and maybe other coaching groups, do you have any examples of results that you've seen from particular people? Obviously, you don't name names or anything, but any examples that you've seen great results from?
Yes, I could tell you the story of two ladies in one of the organizations that I have worked for. who really were quite good at what they did. They had all the technical, functional competencies that were needed and really did a great job. They're strong performers. What was lacking was when they were promoted into management, those management skills and even relational skills. Now that I am a manager, how do I relate to other managers? How does it change my relationship with my peers above whom I was just promoted?
Right, exactly.
And so we brought in some specialized coaching and had great results, great results. These people are probably 20, 25% more effective in their managerial roles within 8 months of that experience.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, part of the dynamic also is I think as a manager or as a leader in the business, sometimes we're too close to it, right? And we can't separate that I'm your boss and I'm fully aware of your performance or lack thereof versus you bring in the outside coach who, and we do this at CareerStar, we use a variety of assessments so we can learn about the person. If we engage with a client where they, too, use assessments, then, of course, we get the access to the information to help us learn more about Gary. But then as a coach, we come in purely as an outsider, and we can take that look at it that says, well, based on our experience and the caliber and the quality and the character of our coaches, I'd put up against anybody. And I say that because the coach can come in and say, based on my experience, where I've been, what I've seen across a variety of businesses, here's what we know works. All of our coaches are certified. So they know what they're looking for, whereas a business leader, when I say they may be too close, you know, they're always going to think about, at the end of the day, did we sell enough today, right? Did we put enough money in the bank today?
Right.
And sometimes that can cloud the true coaching need or development need that might exist there because they're just too close to it.
Yeah. If you were talking to a group of employers and they had all of them individuals that needed to grow in a position, what would you tell them or help educate them on what that employee really needs in order to grow? What are the kinds of things that an employee actually needs to go to that next level?
Well, one of the things I think you could start with would be kind of a tough love conversation. And I think, you know, in today's world, does that really happen? I don't know if it does. I don't know that it doesn't. But I know I've been places where there's never a conversation, and then you get to Friday, and we're sitting there, and the boss came down the hall, and now Bill's no longer here.
Yeah.
You know, is that really the right way to do it? Now, yeah, there are some businesses that operate that way.
Right.
I'm not going to make a judgment on it, but the reality is some people do that. So on the flip side, I would say as a business leader, you know, do you have the wherewithal? Will you take the time to go sit down with Bill and have that conversation that says, hey, I really like you and you're a great performer in your role. But man, there are a couple things from a development standpoint. You have got to work on these things. How can I help you get better at, you know, A and B? I'm committed to that. And again, I take that back to that passionate leader. I think when you find it, and believe me, it exists in a lot of places. We may not know about it. There's so many small businesses in this town that we may not know about. But the ones you end up hearing about are where it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And so you hear about, you know, people losing a job, or you hear about companies not doing so well. And I think a lot of that, again, has to do with that passionate leader who's able to have that conversation and understand that it's going to make Bill feel real uncomfortable. But at the end of the day, it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And then I saddle up with Bill and I make that commitment and say, you know what, we're going to walk this path together.
Gary?
I think a lot of it comes down to relational skills. A lot of people bring in, a lot of associates bring in the good technical skills, the good science, the good marketing skills, et cetera. But if you look at what's happening in you know, the Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z generation, texting over emails, why? Texting is briefer, shorter. My generation, it's emails. At anyone's generation now, it seems that we have less face-to-face conversations.
Right.
And so I think we're on the verge of kind of a lost art here of instead of sending an email, actually getting up and walking 15 steps down the hall and saying, John, can I talk to you about this? Because here's an issue we need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's easy for us to assume that a text or an email or an instant message or whatever does that trick for us, or a voicemail, and it doesn't. So where I see a lot of failures, a high percentage of failures, are people who have skills, but they do not have relational skills that help them interact in a successful way with their team and other teams.
Are there organizations, in terms of either structure or size, that would benefit most from this type of service from a coaching standpoint?
I would say, you know, people ask me all the time, you know, you and I network together, John.
Sure.
So, you know, you might say to me, well, Bill, who does it make sense for you to meet? I think, you know, I think almost anybody it makes sense for me to meet, a business leader. It could be a CEO. It could be a young lady that calls herself president and she's got a $30 million company. It could be a $1.5 billion company. What I find in what I do in connecting with people, if I get over $1 billion in revenue, often the team's big enough that you've got a couple of guys like Gary and you've got those human resources layers in there where a lot of those things are taken care of in-house.
Right.
We may engage with some of those companies because they're so focused on what they need to focus on that something popped up and they just don't have the headcount to deal with it, where they may bring us in on a project basis, kind of a specialized basis.
Yeah, they don't want to hire somebody just because of that. They don't really need it. They just need an infusion.
Correct.
For now.
Yeah. And then there's, you know, I would say probably $200 million and below is a real sweet spot for us, because at that level you get the number of people and you get a business leader who is still engaged to the degree that they're touching a lot of stuff in the business. Mm. And they're either aware of the development deficiencies or they're being made aware of it on a regular basis because they got a couple of lieutenants that report to them that are keeping them abreast of the talent situation within the company.
Yeah.
If I might put in just a plug here, you know, I think to Bill's point, if you're a small business, 150 million, 200 million, when you need it, you need it.
Yeah.
And if you need it for two people, or you need it for your senior team, or you need it for your top five vice presidents, you still need it. And one of the cool things about what CareerSpa is doing, in my opinion, is they can service that niche, and they can service it in a way that you know, makes it affordable and efficient for an organization my size. So it's kind of a unique model about what they're doing. So, you know, I think it plugs in at all levels of organizations. I could see this in an organization of 15 or 20 people. If you have someone who needs that really to move to from B to A or even C to B, it's a great opportunity to engage.
What level of position would you typically come into? I mean, you're obviously not working with a receptionist, I would imagine, but, you know, directors or VPs or line managers that have three or four people operating to them, where is a good place where they're going to get the most value for that?
Yeah, I engage a lot with business leaders. And then when I'm talking to the business leader, it's that conversation I have with the business leader. So, mm-hmm. you know, where are the challenges in your organization? And if somebody says to me, and I heard this the other day, well, we just promoted Kathy to a supervisor, and she's struggling, so that's that line manager.
Right.
But I think in a lot of cases, a business leader is going to recognize whether he or she needs it, and then it goes to the direct report level to the business leader, whether that's 5, 10, 15 people, and then it might go to the direct report of that second level. So now you're down three levels, maybe four levels, and if it's implemented correctly, if it's adopted correctly, if the attitude is correct around all of that, if we've done our job in discovery to figure out exactly what they need, it may then trickle down to those line managers, and then it permeates the entire organization, and then you really start to see some good things happen.
What's the process that somebody would go through? They call up and they say, you know what, I need someone to come help me with this. Who are they talking to? What's the experience? What's the process that they might expect to go through?
Well, for us, as I mentioned, there's myself, there's about four of us in this market with our organization that are out there touching business leaders all the time. And it's really a discovery conversation. to, you know, tell me a little bit about your business. Tell me about yourself. Tell me about your business. Tell me about the challenges. Tell me about, you know, are you successful today as a business? If yes, how? If no, what are the problems? So it's, I think we, CareerSpire, we start there. In some cases, it may be, we've helped, I guess, about 700 people now in 2 years. And I think in a lot of cases, it's when those people are in their role and they either make that referral or they talk about, or somebody recognizes in them, the performance has stepped up, the results have stepped up. You know, I got to get what Bill has. What did Bill do that I'm not doing? Or what did he get that I'm not getting?
Right.
And sometimes, again, a lot of that has to do with a cultural attitude in a company if they're going to be open to doing that. So the challenge, you know, I talk to a lot of people where we're not the best fit.
Yeah.
And if we're not the best fit, it's probably because the, what I would call that cultural attitude and that passionate leader, they push it off to the side. And someday they're going to need it, but they may not be open to at the moment, or they might not admit today. And, you know, we're going to, I'll continue to stay in touch with that person. But it's that passionate leader who's going to recognize it and say, yep, you know, you're talking my language. I would have never thought it would be under the development or coaching category, but based on what you just said, that's exactly what I need.
So they'd start off talking to someone like you.
Right.
And then they determine whether it makes sense. And let's say it makes sense.
Yep, then I bring a coach back.
Okay. So you have somebody who comes in here, they're their feet on the ground.
Absolutely. So I, you know, personally, I don't execute. I'm not a certified coach. But I would bring the coach back, and then that discussion is more around what do we really need? Are we doing something where we bring, you know, we're putting cheeks in seats, we're bringing 15 people into a room, and we're doing a coaching session? Or
right.
Is it a one-on-one thing where the office door closes, and I'm going to have Gary sit down with a coach, and Gary's going to get an hour, you know, a month for the next 6 months, and here's the strategy, here's the program,
yeah.
Here's the process. And then the coach engages with the business leader for the update.
Yeah.
Now, how's Gary doing? Tell me what you're discovering talking to Gary. So yeah, then it's bringing back in the coach, and then it could be what kind of program do we need? Then do we CareerSpire get more coaches involved? You know, workshops, team accountability type stuff. You know, so if it's an organization that says, "Hey, I've got 60 people that need this," we can address 60 people at one time.
Yeah.
If that's what works.
Right.
If it doesn't work, then we break it down and we do it in different stages or different phases.
And Gary, how have you found it to be most effective? Is the one-on-one time that much more helpful than, like, let's say, a group type setting?
I like the one-on-one time because it's focused attention, and the coach can really work with that person and that person's manager or supervisor to identify gaps, either in behavior or skill set that's needed. So I think that's always ideal if the organization can do that and can afford it. Having said that, I've seen the group coaching be really effective when you have 10, 15 people in the room who can pretty much self-identify based on the performance feedback they've received,
mm-hmm.
maybe from 360 feedbacks or from their immediate supervisor. And so if you get motivated people in the room who want to work on their stuff and get better in terms of their performance and their value to the organization, the small group stuff can work really well.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, I'm going to wrap up with our last question, which is really focused around what we call our pearl of wisdom, which is just a, you know, direction or idea for our listeners on from your experiences and what you'd want to pass on to other people. So, Gary, why don't you start off with your pearl of wisdom?
Okay, thanks. Pearl of wisdom. If you want to retain your A and B players, build the kind of a culture and a workplace that you would want your son or daughter, husband or wife to work in.
Hmm. Good. Well, that's a good one. That's a good one. Bill, top that.
Yeah, really? Boy, you threw that one out there. It's like a teacher's pet answer. I think in terms of a pearl of wisdom, I think it's really, I'll go back to the passionate leader comment that I've made a couple of times this morning, as well as the admittance, I'll say, that the problem exists. You know, I think a lot of leaders today are doing what they're doing head down, and they're just keeping blinders on, and they don't see, you know, they're not open to the conversation, right? And sometimes you know, I may find that it's not the best fit for us. So I think it's really be open to the conversation, be open to the idea that you might have those challenges, and then engage in and build that culture, to Gary's point, build the culture where you know people want to be a part of that team. They'll take a bullet for you. They would never think of leaving, and they'll keep the momentum moving forward.
Just a quick reference on that. How do you have a leader actually realize that there's a problem? Sometimes, like you said, the head down, they don't even know what's going on. How do you help them really realize that there's an issue? Do you point it out? I mean, what happens?
Yeah, and some of the folks on our team have heard me use this phrase. One of the things I think we need to be careful about in discovery is telling somebody they have an ugly baby, right?
Yeah.
Because that's not what they're prepared to hear.
Yeah.
If that's what I find, that's one thing. If it's what I'm going to say, that's entirely different.
Right.
So I think there's a challenge there that that a business leader, if you can have that frank and honest discussion. Now, I realize I got to get my ticket punched to have that conversation. I'm not going to walk in the door and assume that I can ask that question or that I can have that conversation right out of the gate. So, you know, we're not a business. We're not a features and benefits business where I can show up and I'm selling widgets. I got to learn as much as I can learn about a company, about a person, about the business, and maybe even about the industry, and be armed with the idea. So that's why, you know, for me, it's not a one-time visit.
Yep.
It's really dedicating more time to go through that discovery process to learn as much as I can learn.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate you guys coming in. Bill, if somebody wants to reach out to you with Career Spa, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, there's certainly check us out online at careerspa.net. They can reach me directly at 404-271-6591. And again, the best way is careerspa.net. They can find me. They can find a bio on all of our coaches online. And contact us directly through links on the website.
Great. And for those not-for-profit organizations that are looking to bolster their bottom line a little bit, Gary, how would they get in contact with you?
Check us out at Grizzard, GRIZZARD.com, and give me a call at 404-935-7486, and I'll be glad to hook them up with someone who can help them.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you guys' time. I definitely enjoy the information. Good stuff about the coaching. It's definitely an area that a lot of business owners probably get caught up in and sometimes don't know really where to go. I also appreciate everybody's time and listening this morning. So until next week, be safe.
John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA. SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation. We'll be right back.